Hello, I'm Katie Steckles.
And I'm Peter Rowlett. And Katie, what's today's mathematical object?
Well, today's object is a 20 pence piece of the UK coins of the realm. And I think this is a really lovely one because this is something you've probably held or touched or had in your pocket quite a lot if you live in the UK, and maybe don't realise that there's some quite nice maths going on with this. So in order to get to that, I'm going to have to start by not talking about a 20p for a good while. So starting off with a circle.
Okay.
So this is a 2D shape. It's round. It has lots of nice properties.
I'm much more familiar with that as a mathematical object.
So. Yes, well, exactly. And also other coins, like a 5p or a 10p. But the one of the nice properties of the circle is that the diameter of the circle is the same no matter which direction you measure it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's called a shape of constant width, which is to say whichever direction you measure the width of the shape, you get the same answer. And it's slightly interesting because there's a sort of related but not quite the same property, which is constant radius, I guess. So if you measure from the middle of a circle to the edge, whichever direction you measure in, you get the same thing. And that's in some sense the definition of a circle, right? We can define it as the set of all points that are up to the same distance away from a central point. But constant width is slightly different because it means that you might have something that doesn't have constant radius but does have constant diameter. And that means that in particular, well, shapes of constant radius, there's only the circle, but shapes of constant diameter, there are other shapes which have this property that aren't actually a circle. And this is quite nice because it means that they have some of the properties that a circle has. In particular, you could, for instance, if you're imagining, you know, a shape that's sort of a flat piece of wood or whatever that has this property, you could put it between two rulers. In fact, if you had two of them, you could put both of them between two rulers and roll the rulers back and forwards along either side of the shapes, and the rulers would stay the same distance apart. And there's this kind of nice trick you can do where you say, you know, I'm hiding this middle bit and you can see the rulers moving, what shape are the things inside? And there's no way you can tell that it's not just a circle, because this would obviously work with a circle as well. But whichever way up the shapes are, the diameter is the same. And one of the nice sort of examples of this that you often see is one that's based on a triangle. So it's called a Rouleau triangle, named after someone French. And the idea is that you take an equilateral triangle and you kind of round off all three of the edges. So strictly what you would do is construct an arc centered at one of the corners of the triangle that passes through the other two corners of the triangle and do that three times.
Yeah, so you're sort of making, for each edge, you're making the arc of a, you're making that edge into the arc of a circle centered at the opposite corner.
Yes, yes. So it kind of looks like a big sort of puffy triangle,
right,
essentially. But this is a shape of constant width. And if you kind of approach it with a ruler, it's not immediately obvious how that would work. But any diameter that you measure has to be a line going kind of from one side of the shape to the other through the centre. And it has to be kind of the maximum that that can be. So you can measure shorter distances that go from one edge of the shape to the other, but they're not a diameter because they don't pass through the middle.
Yeah, when we talk about constant width, we don't really mean... We don't mean width anymore. We don't mean sort of chop the top off a circle and measure the width of that bit. We mean width going through the centre.
Yes, exactly. So it's strictly diameters. And this Rouleau triangle has this property. And what this means is that you can use it as a wheel, I guess. You can use it as a sort of fake circle. Although the problem with that is it's not a wheel in the conventional sort of axle through the middle sense, because for that to work, you need the constant radius thing. Whereas if you're going to do it as a wheel, and people have done this because, of course, people are stupid. So people who wanted to demonstrate that this was a thing that was possible, they've made a bicycle where instead of the weight of the frame of the bicycle being anchored through the centre of the circle, it's kind of resting on top.
Okay.
So there's like a flat thing that sits on top of the wheel rather than being through an axle in the middle of the wheel, which means it's horrifically frictiony and very difficult to ride. But it does work. And there are little video clips on YouTube of people riding a bicycle with triangular wheels, although they're not strictly triangular. They're a shape of constant width. And it works. And you can just ride it around, which is kind of fun.
So this sort of picturing this object, so then... Basically, the outside of it is these three bumpy sides that are really arcs of circles. And by definition, each of them is the constant diameter from the opposite side, which is just a point of the triangle.
Yeah, because that's how you've constructed it.
Yeah, that's how you made it. Wherever you put your ruler, you're going to get that same measurement, no matter what, by definition.
Yeah, and it means you can also do this with other shapes as well. So if you have a five-sided shape, like a regular pentagon, you could put put a pair of compasses at one corner of it and construct an arc on the opposite face and so on. If you've got an odd number of sides, it's much easier. It is possible to do it with other shapes as well, like irregular shapes. Like I've seen one constructed on a 3-4-5 triangle and one just kind of on an arbitrary kind of polygon that someone's constructed. It doesn't even have to be... I guess it does have to be a convex polygon in the sense that if it isn't, you just construct the bounding convex polygon and then build it on that or whatever. But you can construct arbitrarily many shapes of constant width using different constructions. And in particular, if you hadn't noticed, the 20p coin is a shape of constant width with seven sides. Which, if you'd not noticed it was seven, that's a revelation for a lot of people. Whoa, the seven! Like, you think it's symmetrical?
Well, because you don't exactly pay attention to it, do you? And you got this object in your pocket, and you think it must be sort of a hexagon or an octagon or something. Yeah, those are the shapes you're used to.
But it's got that symmetry. It's got like a line of symmetry, but it's not got more than one. Essentially, it's kind of nice in that sense. And that is a shape of constant width, and it is often used for coins because. One of the ways that automated vending machines can detect which coin you've put in is by measuring the size of it. And it's very useful if you're doing that for the thing to have constant diameter, because you just drop it in a thing that measures the height of the thing. And it doesn't matter which way up it's landed, you get the same measurement in any direction. This is a slight bone of contention for me at the moment, because a couple of years ago, they replaced the perfectly functional circular £1 coin in the UK with some kind of ridiculous 12-sided shape. And I think, so you can construct shapes of constant width with an odd number of sides, but with an even number of sides, I don't think you can. Like, it doesn't make sense in the same way.
Because each vertex doesn't have an opposite side.
Yeah, so that each vertex isn't opposite a face, I guess. So the coin that they've replaced it with is a 12-sided shape. And they've not even tried. It's got flat sides. Like, it's just a dodecagon, which I guess is probably near enough to a circle that it kind of works in the machines and they can detect it. And there aren't any other UK coins that are near enough to it in size that it would confuse the machine and stuff like that. But it's incredibly dissatisfying to go from this perfect set of shapes that all have this wonderful property to having one that doesn't. But obviously people who work at the Royal Mint are not concerned with maths, so they're I don't know, they made this decision. They think it maybe looks nicer or whatever, so the £1 coin is not a shape of constant width, but the 50p is also a seven-sided shape, 20p is, and all of the other coins are, because they are circles. So
do you know why they aren't all circles? Is there a sort of... Is it just aesthetically nice to have?
I think, I suspect there's more psychology and practicalities than maths in it, but it's probably something like, you know, being able to easily tell them apart in your pocket and stuff like that. And also just to make things look visually different, I guess. Because I think if you're learning a new currency, one of the first things you have to do is recognise all the different coins, and if they all look very similar, it becomes quite difficult, and you have to squint at the tiny numbers on them. So... it kind of helps. Even if they get a bit worn and the numbers are worn off, you can still kind of easily identify them.
And we do seem to have quite a few compared to some countries only have a smaller number of coins, right? We have quite a few.
I guess we like our coins, though. We like the Royal Mint, and we enjoy having... There's all these myths about, it's illegal to deface a coin, and if you use a penny press at a museum, that's technically, you know, breaking the law because you've defaced a coin of the realm. That are probably not even true, but people say these things anyway.
I was thinking of there's a nice puzzle where you have to say how many ways you can make a dollar using all the American coins. So it could be two 50-cent coins, it could be a 50-cent coin and two 25-cent coins and so on. And it's a little bit faffy, but it's not too bad, because they basically have 1, 5, 25 and 50, I think, as their coins. And so they're all multiples of, apart from the 1, you know, well, they're all sort of multiples of each other in that way. So the 25 and the 50 are multiples of 5. So you don't have to think about how to make it from 3 pennies or 2 pennies or anything like that, because they don't have that.
Yeah.
And then I tried making a UK version of that puzzle, but we have 1p, 2p, 5p, 10p, 20p and 50p. So it's like it just becomes this horrendous thing, because in order to work out, it's basically an iterative thing. So to work out each number, you have to have worked out the previous numbers. Well, if you only have to do multiples of 5, you've got a much easier job. But with the UK system, you have to do multiples of 2 and 5, which means you're doing almost every number up to 100. And it just becomes this much more horrible puzzle. And it sort of struck me that we have more coins than other people, certainly than America. I don't know how other countries
do. Yeah. I think they have got a 10-cent coin as well.
Right.
But yeah, they are all multiples of 5. It also ruins other puzzles as well. So one of my favourite coin-based puzzles was posed by a mathematician I know who used to get the bus regularly in Edinburgh. And essentially, in Edinburgh, they don't give change on the bus. Right. So you get on and you kind of drop some coins into the thing at the front, and the driver kind of looks at it and goes, yeah, that's correct. And then they press a button and it just kind of drops into a vat of coins at the bottom.
Exactly the same in Nottingham, where I live. So.
Yeah, there's no way for them to give change. So if you haven't got the right money, you have to pay more than the amount that you're supposed to pay. And this mathematician got on the bus and found that they didn't have exactly £1 and the fare was £1 and they had to pay slightly more than £1. And when she got to her seat, she sat down, she was like, right, I'm slightly annoyed now, but what's the most annoyed I could be? So it essentially became this puzzle of what's the largest amount of money you can have without being able to make exactly £1.
Right.
And it's surprisingly quite a lot given the UK coins. And I'll leave that with people because it's quite a fun puzzle to work on. But like, I've had to also do it. I think someone invited me onto an American podcast to talk about some puzzles. And I was like, oh, I've got to work out the answer to this in all these different currencies now. And I've done it in Europe in a couple of places. And there are a couple of countries in Europe where they've just abandoned the 1 and 2 cent coins because it's just too much faff. Like, the amount of money it costs to make the coins is more than, you know, more than they're actually worth or something. So they've just said, no, everything's a multiple of 5p now. So someone kind of took me to one side and said, you do know there's no such thing as a 1 cent or 2 cent coin here. I was like, what? This puzzle is rubbish now. So I had to kind of stand up and say, so just imagine that you're using all of these coins and now do the puzzle. Just to quickly go back to the shapes of constant width, I've got one more note on my bit of paper here, which is that the Rouleau triangle, actually the triangle one is a coin, which Matt Parker discovered in Bermuda. They have a Bermuda triangular coin, which is, of course, the most appropriate place to do that. But one of my favourite facts about the Rouleau triangle is that you can use it as a drill bit to drill square holes. So you kind of, I can't remember exactly how it works. You have to mount it either slightly off centre, or so there's some clever thing that you do in a jig, but you can use it because of the way it rotates. It kind of goes into all four corners of a square when it rotates, and you end up being able to drill a square hole. So that's quite a nice... And it's genuinely a thing that's used. It's like you get these occasionally slightly made-up applications of mathematical shapes, like the Mobius band drive belts and things like that. But this is like actually a thing that exists. And I've occasionally looked into whether I could get one to use at home, but it turns out you need a proper drill. You need like a drill press. So I'm not quite there yet.
It's quite nice when you watch this on a video or something, but the centre wobbles around in a particular way, doesn't it, to make it happen?
Yeah. It's some kind of off-center, something with gears, I imagine.
Yeah.
But
sounds legit.
Clever engineering.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on Twitter. I'm at Peter Ollett.
And I'm at Stex. And the podcast itself is at Math Subjects.
And we both blog at aperiodical.com, which is also where you can get more episodes of this podcast.
And if you would like to get in touch with us to suggest any other objects that we could talk about or any other interesting facts about shapes of constant width, you can email objects@aperiodical.com.
The music is Funk Game Loop by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons. Do 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 do.